Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The biggest music festival in the world, Coachella, has reported the slowest ticket sales in a decade for this year's event. And it's not alone. Even the New Zealand A&P show was on the brink of shutting completely after 160 years, saying it was simply no longer financially viable. So here's a question. Is it getting tougher to pull off big events? And if so, what's changed? Well, Perlina Lau is the co-host of RNZ's Culture 101 and joins me in the studio now. Kia ora.
Kia ora, Emil.
Maybe we should start by looking locally. Culture 101's been doing a series on New Zealand festivals. Have you picked up on any recurring problems or themes of stuff that event organisers are facing broadly?
We were covering the arts festivals around Aotearoa, and by all accounts and my own experiences of going to shows, it was going pretty great guns and shows were busy and they were packed, and this is across regions as well, not just in the main centres, which was really, really great to see. But I also know that that's off the back of a tough few years, you know, where festivals did have to cancel and reduce and change and adapt. And so it did feel like things are sort of picking up again. But if we're looking at sort of these bigger music festivals and these events, then there is absolutely a trend locally, globally, that things are difficult. And I've been reading a lot about it today, looking at sort of the reasons, and there isn't really one particular reason. It's more a culmination of factors. I think, firstly, it's more expensive to put events on, and the cost of living crisis and people being more careful with their money. That's a very generic sort of explanation. But like, I would put those are the two big factors, I think.
Cost of living thing's the most obvious one. But, like, I mean, you know, it's obvious for a reason, right? Like, people have less money, and therefore this is pretty discretionary spending for most people.
And this is the thing. You can say, yes, there's a cost of living crisis, but then you hear of Taylor Swift, you hear of Fred again, Coldplay, and people are forking out hundreds and thousands of dollars to travel to go see these people, so to see these bands and artists. So while people are being more, so while there is a cost of living crisis, people are spending the money, they're just being more picky and they're being more cautious and choosing where to spend their money.
I was wondering about that because, like, say, I mean, people don't, not everybody thinks like this. I certainly don't think like this. But, like, say you've got $1,000 to spend on gigs in a year, and then it's announced that Taylor Swift's going to Melbourne, and it's like, oh my God, I might never be able to see this again. This might never happen
again. That sort of scarcity, right? And also, in the last couple of years, there's been a real revival of bands that were big.
Back in the day.
Certainly when I was growing up, right?
So that's not back in the day.
Back in the day, just last year,
yeah,
you
exactly.
mean. So you've got Take That coming later this year, but we had Backstreet Boys last year. Sort of all these nostalgia bands in the UK, was S Club 7. So it certainly gave the impression of this is their last outing. So this is your chance to see them. If you haven't seen them before, probably because you were too young, this is it. So people would opt for these bigger shows and those more expensive tickets than the sort of middle price tickets.
You and I were talking about a week ago when we were talking about, you know, the idea of doing this story, and you said something that I thought was really interesting. You said you used to go to gigs a lot, like pretty much every week, but they wouldn't be necessarily to see specific bands. You would go to specific places and just absorb what was going on at that place. It didn't really matter what was playing.
So and this is obviously just my experience, but, you know, when I was younger, it was sort of, you know, Wine Cellar, Whammy Bar, Neck of the Woods, Peach Pit, and there's all on K Road. Then it was Basement Theatre, and then it was, but it was very much I'm going to go to a place because I like it and it's cool. King's Arms for a while there. But it was also where my friends were going.
Yeah, right.
So it was very tied into social, a social outing, you know, that was, which was in your sort of late teens, early 20s. Yeah. That's the centre of your world. So it was just going wherever my friends were and those would be the places. But then we'd like a place and keep going back there. And that's another sort of thing I've been looking at is I wonder if today's generation, Generation Z, Generation Z, are different. They are known for being generation sensible. They're not particularly interested in alcohol. They don't do drugs. They're more into social politics and their priorities are different.
Yeah.
And so in that sense, I guess millennials are now probably also, this is a generalisation, but a lot of my friends are having kids now. And they're not going out to a 2-3 day festival.
More competition for your time as well, I suppose.
Absolutely. You know,
Every outlet of entertainment is grappling with this. Particularly sport. You know that it's not just what's on at 7:30 on a Saturday night. Now, well, the Crusaders playing the Blues. You know, you have a Netflix account. You have a Neon account. You have 5,000.
It's the
movies
fragmentation,
you can watch.
Right? Of us and our viewership and our loyalty. There isn't really that loyalty anymore. It's everyone gets to do what they want when they want.
Yeah.
Also, I was thinking about that, the fragmentation of audiences and the idea of FOMO. I came up with the idea of FOMO in the sense that you don't really have that, if I don't go to this concert or I don't go to this festival, I'll miss out because I'm going to see that concert or festival online.
Online.
My friends are going. I'll see them post. Taylor Swift, I was seeing her concert, sort of videos of her concerts from hundreds of people on my social media feeds. Different songs, different outfits. Then I knew she was doing a video or turning it into a film for Disney.
Yeah.
I would be able to watch that later on, a 3-hour gig in my living room.
Might not be as good as the real thing, but
no,
it also didn't cost $2,000.
But I didn't have to spend the money.
Yeah.
And so if I apply that to smaller events, you know, and I think, I suppose that in terms of cost and finance, there are two sides of it. So for these events, for these big festivals, you know, everything is more expensive. Fuel, transport, insurance. Insurance is a big one.
Yeah.
Accommodation, food, equipment hire, artist fees. Everything has gone up in the last few years. Let's say the percentage of these costs have gone up 30%. You're not going to slap that on the ticket.
Yeah.
And actually, concert goers and festival goers won't pay the 30%. So, but you're still having to do that. And
so
you're
your still margins are finer.
Yeah. Then you've also got someone. I was reading an article, they say the interest rates have gone up. So in the 2000s and 2010s, when festivals were, you know, that was sort of like the time of festivals, they were still going strong, you had really low interest rates. So for companies, it was cheaper to borrow to start up capital to stage a festival.
Right, yeah.
So if you were trying to do something different, do something new. Then you've got sort of the consumer side of things, which is cost of living, people spending their money, but, you know, they're being careful about it and they're splashing out either on the big ticket items or the smaller items. Then you've got all these middle festivals or middle events that sort of fall by the wayside.
Fall in cracks, yeah.
Yes. And if people don't think that your lineup is good enough, they might like one or two acts. They don't want to pay $400 or $300 for 40 minutes or for 100 minutes.
Sure. You want a whole.
You want more bang for your buck, right?
Yeah.
Because suddenly you're going, well, I'm paying more. What am I getting in return? That's a very natural sort of consumer behavior. But if everything's becoming more expensive to stage and it's expensive to get those big artists over here, and if you can't get them, then perhaps your audience are going to go, meh.
It's kind of a bummer, eh? Like,
it is a bummer. I mean, it's a real bummer.
Because the little sort of 50-person niche gigs are great, you know, and, you know, Taylor Swift performing to 100,000 people at a stadium, you know, flying in an anti-gravitational device, that's great too. But those mid-range festivals, 100 to 300 bucks, you know, 1 or 2 day. I mean, I went to one over the summer in Wainui Mata, and it was just great. I absolutely loved it, but I didn't have that much expectation going in. And to see those disappear from the landscape, I mean, Splore's going to once every 2 years, Nest Fest has gone insolvent, Splendour in the Grass in Australia's not happening next year.
That's been cancelled. Well, this is the thing, right? It's happening across Australia, in the UK as well. UK's got a huge festival event culture. And Glastonbury, so between 2022 and 2023, the ticket price rose by $115 plus booking fee. That's quite a lot over 1 year. And coming off the back of COVID, initially I think people thought, you know, right, we've been locked down, let's get out, let's go out. Governments were pumping money into these events, so they had that support and that extra that extra money. But now that's starting to fall away, and that's not happening anymore. So now these festivals or these events are back on their own again. And because they went, this is in the UK, because they went sort of hardcore with the artists and they had all these stars lined up, then it's set an expectation. But now they can't get those stars anymore because it's too expensive.
Yeah, right.
So there's sort of the post-COVID hangover as well, I think.
Market forces. Gee whiz. It will be interesting to see what happens in this space. Anyway, Perlina Lau from Culture 101, thank you very much for your time this evening. That is Perlina Lau, who hosts Culture 101 here on RNZ National.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.